Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. You can find it in your pew Bibles on page 1020. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made from pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why waste this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." When Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them, they were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, this is heavy. Good morning. My name is Jeff Sowden. I retired some months ago, and my wife and I, Muriel, came to live here about 10 months ago. We've had a really lovely welcome to St. Nick, so thank you to Will and everybody that's done that. Let's just pray. Lord, please speak to each of us this morning through this well-known passage. Speak to us now, but more importantly, speak to us during this coming week about our devotion to you, because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was early in the start of my career at my new company, and I stood at the end of the director's corridor, and I was being shouted at by the managing director because I'd given out an out-of-date negotiating document that we were having a meeting with the trade unions about. We were trying to negotiate off the document that we'd done at the last meeting, not this one. Chaos, accusations of management incompetency, and this was the start of my career, a very dangerous moment. I can still hear his voice down that corridor, probably almost to the end of church, 40 years after it happened. He was a big bloke. But it wasn't nearly as dangerous as the meeting for the woman in our gospel account today, was it? The title given to this series is for today's dangerous liaisons. Liaisons in the sense of communication or a meeting. St. John, in his account, tells us that she was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, great friends of Jesus. So let's imagine the scene. It's interesting today about all the debate about women's football, isn't it? And the fact that it was only made possible in 1971 to play on FA pitches. In those days, women had no place in society. There was probably no other woman in the room for that meal. Mary comes in and she pours that perfume all over Jesus' head. Scandalous! Her whole reputation and, of course, Jesus was put on the line in that moment. What did Jesus say? In verse 9, that whenever the gospel is preached, we will be reminded of what Mary did that day. And here we are, 2,000 years later, exactly that. What a response to Jesus that was. That response that came from devotion, from the heart. And boy, it must have been so powerful, mustn't it? It was the gospel in action. So what does Jesus tell us that Mary did? Verse 8. She prepared him for burial. Now, the significance of that moment was enormous, wasn't it? It was just going to prefigure everything that was going to happen in the next days to Jesus. How much of that she knew, we don't know. But she, in that moment, was prepared for the cost and the risk that it had with that action. Her reputation, her lack of concern for embarrassment, and of course the value of the perfume. And that kind of devotion can be costly, can't it? I was struck by the willingness of the teachers amongst this congregation, who were very willing volunteers for the holiday club. I think it was the first week of the holiday, wasn't it? Somebody, is that right? Amazing. So thank you very much. I know what I would want to do if I was a teacher. I wouldn't want to be involved with kids again on my first week. So firstly then, what did Jesus say she did? She prepared him for burial. Secondly, again from verse 8, what could she do? Jesus said she did what she could. Now, was the perfume being kept for a special occasion? We don't know. And as a woman in society, the presumption is that she could do very little. She had no power, but Jesus says she did what she could. I'm ashamed to say that on one particular occasion, many years ago, I didn't. It was my last Sunday morning playing tennis at my club, and I announced the fact that I was going off to become a vicar. There was a stunned silence. I'd obviously not done a very good job of telling people about my faith at the tennis club. I had the opportunity, and I didn't take it, clearly. Thirdly, what does Jesus say the woman did? She acted on Jesus' priorities and not her own. Jesus says that Mary got it right. Amongst all the competing claims going on about the money, Mary got it right. Nothing was going to get in the way of her doing what she'd come to do. She wasn't afraid to show her devotion to Jesus. We're going to see a picture of Kate Forbes, who's on the left, and we know the ex-leader of the SNP on the right. I was really interested in Kate Forbes' story because she stood up and effectively said, "My faith means everything to me." I think that was a large reason for her losing that vote, wasn't it? And so she didn't become the leader of the SNP. So what did Jesus say that Mary did? She prepared him for burial. She did what she could, and she acted on Jesus' priorities and not her own. What about the other person who was responding to Jesus in the story? What about Judas? Tom Wright gives two possible reasons for Jesus' response. Firstly, disappointment with Jesus. And we've all been there, haven't we? We have this expectation, and it just doesn't work out in the way we expect. For Judas, where was the follow-up after all the exciting events of the clearing out of the temple and the entry to Jerusalem? This was going to be fabulous. And actually, what did Jesus do? He sat in the temple and did a bit of teaching. That wasn't what Judas probably expected at all. He just could not see Jesus' agenda, and so he focused on his own, which was the money. The second reason that Tom Wright says that might possibly have led Judas to do what he did was embarrassment. I mean, imagine being there. Imagine being a bloke there. The embarrassment. She'd made a complete and utter spectacle of herself, and Judas was just not going to be associated with that, was he? So he was just not willing to stand out and be counted for Jesus. It wasn't devotion, as it was with Mary, but for Judas it was disaffection, leading to his willingness to put personal gain first. So given what Jesus said about what the woman did, what does that mean for us? What's our response? What does our response in devotion to Jesus look like? Well, two things from this passage. Will's already spoken about the second. The first is sacrificial. What does our response in devotion to Jesus look like? Firstly, sacrifice. With all our stuff when we moved to Newbury, there were two huge cardboard boxes full of all the letters and cards and invites and programs that had sent to me in my teens and my 20s. It was very sad, really. Anybody else keep all their stuff from the age of 11 like I did? Anybody willing to admit that? No, I was the only one here. I've just finished going through those boxes, and actually, it's been fascinating. I was reminded of the two most important people in my journey of faith. The first was Richard, my youth leader. I've read so many letters that he wrote to me in my teens. He was a barrister, he'd got a young family, and there are endless letters to me going through my teens. And then Michael, my home group leader. Every Sunday after service, you'd find him standing next to you, and he'd got notes of what you'd said to him and how you were the Sunday before. And again, letters from Michael that I read. Now, who would like my quality street? I'm amazed. Who was right? Okay, here you go. Now look, I have to say, right, this is my example of sacrificial, right? There you go. You've got my last quality street. I've given up all of them, and that's my last gone. Are you really pleased to get my last one? Fabulous, great. What's our response to Jesus? Firstly, that woman, it was sacrificial, wasn't it? Secondly, as Will's been saying, it was extravagant. The community church in my parish that we left some months ago, the community church proposed that there would be a community fun day, and it was going to be free for everybody, for everything. The bouncy castles, the bands, the craft, the burgers, the Coke, everything. Only the ice cream had to be paid for because that was somebody who was coming in to sell it. I was amazed. We're going to give everything away for free? Interestingly enough, the prayer tent during the day was busy all day. And interestingly, from St. Nick's point of view, I again saw that kind of extravagance for the holiday club, because nobody has to pay for anything, do they? So, as my example of extravagance, can you pass me the box? Here we go. So as we think about our response, let's firstly think about Jesus' sacrifice for us. Let's remember the dangerous encounter for Jesus with Judas. Let's remember the dangerous encounter that it was for Jesus. Because, of course, the encounter ended in his betrayal, didn't it? Despite knowing how it would end, Jesus risked all in calling Jesus and keeping him as his disciple. And that risk and that sacrifice Jesus makes for each of us, doesn't he? So can I invite those who are able to stand? Let's pray. And in the silence, firstly, let's just think of that cost and that risk that Jesus made for each of us. He knew that Judas would betray him, and yet he went to the cross for Judas, for you and for me. And secondly, Lord, what's getting in the way? What's getting in the way of that kind of devotion that Mary showed that day for us? Is it our disappointment about things that we expected that somehow have not happened? Jesus, you've let us down. Is it our own agenda getting in the way, Lord? Please take those things away, because they're getting in the way of that kind of devotion. Again, what is it the Holy Spirit's saying to you this morning? And lastly and thirdly, Lord, what is the sacrifice? What is the extravagance that you want us to show? Again, Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and speak to our wills. And God's people all said, Amen.